find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Blank, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So I want to remind everybody that the show is now on the air 12 to 2. It's football season. So there will be 1 or 2 weeks where we move back to 11 to 1. I know it's a little wacky always in the football season era, but 13 or something years now we've been doing this, and we moved back an hour, 12 to 2. So I'm with you for another hour, and I hope you'll be able to stick around. The number 404-872-0750, I want to take this call, and then I want to start talking about some of the things that I think are really important to teach your kids to make them financially savvy, some the money-savvy generation, not just the web-savvy generation, and also what happens particularly when they turn 18. There are some things you have to take care of. Bobby joins me on the line now from Snellville. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good. What's on your mind today?
My wife and I have a two-year-old, and we would like to move into a better school district, preferably in Cummings area. And I just like to have a financial advice to see what is the best way to move out of this house. Currently, I owe about a little bit over $100,000 on the current house, and I have enough liquid to pay that off and still have a down payment for a new house. Or since our son is not going to go to school for another 3 years, I can invest in a business or something. So I just want to get kind of a financial advice. What is the best thing to do?
Well, you have – so you're in a great situation because home prices are still down from where they were, but you have an opportunity to trade up, right?
Yes.
So we had I have some friends who sold their house and then moved to a better school district and paid a little bit more for the new house, sold their house for a little bit less than they might have wanted to, but now, a year later, or 2 years later, their house has zoomed up in value, the new house, and because it was a better neighborhood and a higher-priced house, the appreciation has been better. So if you owe, let's say your house is worth, just to keep it really simple, $100,000, and the house in the new neighborhood that you want to go to is $150,000, right? Let's just say that those are what that's the price differential, 50% increase. Your house may be down 30% in value. That house might be down 30% in value. But when that house starts to appreciate again, because it's a higher-priced house in a better neighborhood, it will appreciate faster than your current residence. So even if you sell your current residence for less and you put the money into the new property in a better neighborhood, it's a better overall investment. So I think that even though your son, or is it a son or a daughter?
Son.
Even though your son isn't going to be really ready for school for another 3 years, you want to be ready for him. And so buying the house now when property prices are still down a little bit is a better deal than maybe waiting 3 years and paying a significantly higher price for the house.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes, and that's the only thing we were considering with my wife was, you know, maybe investing in a business for 3 years, in a small business, something that my wife can run, and then looking at a house. That's what we're confused about because I don't want to have that much debt. So I do not want to do business and a house at the same time. So,
well, how much equity do you have in the house that you currently live in?
Currently, I owe about $120, and if I were to sell it, I would get maybe $150 or $160. But
okay.
I paid a little bit over $200 for it.
Okay, so you're going to take a little bit of a loss on it.
Yes.
And in the new neighborhood, what's the price of the house roughly that you would want to spend to move into the new neighborhood you have your eye on?
Around $400.
So if you sell your house and you'll have what will you have in cash? $150,000 in cash?
That's liquid. And if not including 401k and all the other, yes.
Yeah, no, I don't want to include any of that because there's no, you don't need that for anything. So you'd get a mortgage for $300,000 versus the $100,000 that you're at. So the deal is better now. And the reason it's right to move now is not only is the house at $400,000, but in 3 years, that $400,000 house might be $500,000. Mortgage interest rates, instead of being 4.75% for somebody who has 20% down, might be 5.75%. So you're going to get hit both ways.
I see. So
and
you
putting
recommend-
the money, and by the way, putting all that cash into a business that your wife can run may or may not be worth more in 3 years, and you may or may not make more money in 3 years.
Understood. So would you recommend selling the current house, or would you recommend just renting it out or doing something else with it?
Well, that's a great question. So are you, how far is this house from where you're going to be? Is the neighborhood where your current house is improving or not really improving? Are you and your wife built to be landlords? Not everybody is. And is this something that you want to make into a business where you kind of do this and then you buy another house and you buy another house? So there are all kinds of questions. These are the kinds of questions I talk about in my Intentional Investor series. Because I have 8-9 webinars and then 9 ebooks, and we look at all the different parts of being a first-time investor and what it takes to be a repeat investor and to build this kind of wealth from it. And it's really not for everybody. So I don't know you well enough to be able to say, Bobby, yes, you and your wife are perfect investors. What I will tell you is that if you owe $100,000 and you can rent out the property to cover the mortgage, the taxes, the insurance, and maybe a little bit left over to keep the house improved, and you can easily rent it where it is, and it looks like that neighborhood's going to be stable or improve, and you still have $100,000 to put on the new house, which is more than 20%, yes, I think keeping that property and continuing to pay off that mortgage is a really smart idea, particularly if the interest rate on that property is low. What's the interest rate on it?
Well, I had refinanced about 5 years ago at 5-year ARM at 5%. I did that 10 years ago. And ARM expired 5 years ago. And because of the economic situation, interest rates keep going down. So currently I'm paying about 2.1%.
Unbelievable.
In July.
So that's great. So that's going to go up. Next year that'll go up to maybe 3.1%.
Yes.
Still a great deal.
And that's the only reason I have not refinanced is because I know it's not my final home, and why I refinance at 4% when I'm getting 2% interest rate?
Yeah, I understand completely. So right now, you ought to be able to rent that property to cover what you owe, and
okay,
then some. And so the calculus that you want to make is, can you easily rent out the property, cover what you owe, and then a little bit extra, take your $100,000, go buy the $400,000 house, which will give you a $300,000 mortgage. Try to lock that in at 4.75%, and be done with it.
All right.
So now you've got an investment property and that has equity in it, which is great, and you've got the new house, which you've locked it at the lower interest rate and the lower price point, and you're set. And your
right.
wife can manage the investment property as her small business for now.
All right. And would you recommend like paying more than 20% down on a new house, or I would only pay 20%?
I would put 20% down. You can always, you know, pay that down even further if you want to. If you find that the property that you want to buy is 4.25%, you know, you may end up right at 20%. If you decide you want to put 25% down, that's fine too. As long as you have extra cash in the bank for other kinds of expenses, and if it makes you, you know, anything, the emergency fund, right? You want to have some extra cash in the bank so that you're not always using your credit card to fund sort of regular things. So as long as you've got enough in the bank, I don't really care how much you put down on the property.
All right. Understood.
All right?
All right. This is very helpful. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad. Thanks for calling the show, and good luck with the property purchase. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So I want to change tax a little bit. Bobby has a 2-year-old, so this won't affect Bobby directly for about 16 years. But for anybody who has teenagers, and anybody whose teenager has just turned 18 or 19 or even 20 and you haven't done these things, I want to give you a shout out because my son Alex turns 18 tomorrow, which is so incredibly hard to believe. But turning 18, it's not just about now he comes into his own and has to sign his own tax return, although those things are also true. But one thing you may not have thought about that I hadn't even thought about until my friend mentioned it to me this weekend, and that even Sam, who's an attorney, hadn't thought about, is when your child turns 18, they are no longer under your control. So, first, if you have a will that names guardians for that child no longer has to go live with the person that you've intended them to go live with, and you may have to adjust your will to account for that. More to the point, if something happens to your child, so if, God forbid, there's an accident and your child's in a hospital and unconscious and they're 18 or older, you cannot make decisions for them anymore. They need to have their own power of attorney for health care and financial matters, if they have any financial matters, but they're going to need a power of attorney naming you as the person who's going to make those decisions. And this is something that's so incredibly important. And it's something that I think really slips away. And yes, your child is probably going to be just fine. But there are cases, so many cases, of children who get into a car accident and they're unconscious in the hospital or something worse has happened. You don't know what their wishes are. You don't have control. The hospital doesn't have to show you any of the medical records. They don't even have to let you in the door to help make those important decisions. And so you want to talk to your child about this, about these responsibilities, and you want to execute the documents that you need that are going to allow you to make those important decisions and be in the room when those decisions are made if your son or daughter who's 18 or older can't make them. So important. So as my son Alex is turning 18 tomorrow, we are going to tomorrow get those documents executed, sent to him. He'll get them notarized locally, and then we'll have a copy. He'll have a copy, and everybody will be on notice. But it is incredibly important, folks, if you have a teenager who's 18, to think about this. There are a series of things that happen as they turn into an adult, and you've got to be ready. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. We've got a couple of lines open. 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glank. Stay tuned. It's 18 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glank on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
4 minutes past the hour. We're going to do a prize pack when we come back after the next break. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Don joins me on the line from Macon. Hi, Don.
Hey.
Hey, what can I do for you?
My wife and I have a 37-year-old son, and I own a house with him that we bought. It was bank-owned, and we get a really good deal on it, and it's kind of a little starter home, but we've got a lot of some equity in it, but he wants to buy another house for himself, and we're going to rent that one out. And he's been a good, paid well, but this loan is going to be probably $150,000, $200,000 or something like that. And he wants my wife to co-sign for him because he's self-employed and has been for a number of years and different things like that. But anyway, he's been paying really well so far. But I was wondering if she does that, and she's already told him she would to help him out, what kind of protections should we look for, like key man life insurance or you know, or being the owner and beneficiary on a life insurance policy? Or
well, so let me ask you some tougher questions. First of all, if your son just stops paying, can you and your wife afford the whole mortgage?
Probably not.
Then you have a real problem because
yeah.
You have to assume that at some point in time he may not be able to contribute anything to it. Now, you could sell the starter home that's being rented, and that has some equity in it. You could sell that and you could apply it. But mm-hmm. I think that if your wife is going to co-sign it, they should go in as partners on it.
Okay.
And she should have her name on the mortgage and the property as well.
Okay.
And be a half owner.
I don't think he has any problem with that.
That's great. So that's the first thing. And then there needs to be a partnership document that talks about who's going to do what. So your wife is going to co-sign, and maybe she's going to put some of the money down, and he's going to make all the monthly payments, and he's going to do all this other stuff, and that's all good. Do you have any other children or just this one son?
Two other sons, yeah.
So how do they feel about, you know, the, all of your equity going into helping out this son and starting to build property? Because really it's not fair. You know, when you think about it, maybe your other children don't need the help and they're all on board with this program, but at some point in time, kids go, why does he get all the help and I don't get any? And I think you have to, they do. They really do. And you got to address that and do it up front. So, and have a family meeting where the sons come in with you and your wife without their wives, and you sit down. And if you have a great relationship with the wives or the partners, you can bring them all in. But you got to have a conversation about, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're structuring it financially.
Mm-hmm.
The half of it that we own will get divided into thirds, you know, if you decide to do it that way. And you've got to change your will accordingly. And so you really need to do the documentation side of this. It's much more involved because if this son, for whatever reason, defaults, this is all going to come back onto you and your spouse. And your documents need to say, you know, if he defaults and you pick up the mortgage payments, you're going to take back his share of it. And that's something that it only works if it's fully explained, everybody agrees, it's documented by a lawyer, everybody signs it, it's recorded, and everybody knows what the deal is up front. Otherwise, I think you wind up in a situation where the other kids are going to start to feel bad and left out and that you don't love them as much, and there could be resentment, and certainly after you and your wife are gone, you don't want the boys fighting over this. It just doesn't make any sense at all. So take the time, figure it out, and make sure that everybody understands what's going on and is on board with it. 404-872-0750. It is 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. When we come back, we're going to do our prize pack, so stay tuned for that. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
It's 36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time. Starting with yours, we're going to do our McDonald's WSB weekend prize pack. The value, $409. It includes a table for six to see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's A Trip Around the World, September 20th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents, and a pair of tickets to see the Alliance Theater's production of Harmony, September 6th through October 6th on the Alliance stage, and a maintenance agreement for two complete residential one-unit HVAC tune-ups, courtesy of Shoemate Air Conditioning and Heating. The weekend prize pack is presented by McDonald's McCafe. I'm loving it. We're going to give that away to the fifth caller to our prize pack line. Call 404-741-0750, 404-741-0750. Good luck. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now here at the station. The phone line to ask a question only, 404-872-0750. Lisa joins me on the line from Buford. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Elise. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Sure. How can I help today?
I guess my question slash problem is a two-pronged approach. My parents are in their 70s. Health is declining. They live in Roswell. I have a neighborhood behind me in Buford where I can walk to a house that we have found. And the agent that controls the house and the neighborhood, the house is going up for sale on Tuesday. Because I know the girl who has got the house, I know how much she paid, how much they put into it, it's a year old. I've kind of decided to go with a dual agent. And I want to make sure that's a good approach because I can't see the need to go with the buyer's agent at this point.
So your choice is to go with the agent who controls the neighborhood because she does all the work there, buying and selling and all the rest, or to go with a smaller agent. And why would you go with a smaller agent when you're the buyer and it's not going to really change anything? Unless you tell me that this is the agent who's also listing the property, why would you go with somebody else?
Well, in my experience in five houses, I've always had an agent who represents me as a seller and me as a buyer. And my opinion, my parents' house is so big, They really don't know the neighborhood and the market in Buford, and vice versa. So my plan is to get this house taken care of in Buford. We're within $10,000 already of getting it done. And then my parents are pack rats. So I need to get their house ready to go on the market. And I want to use a different agent here in Roswell who knows the area. And
yeah, that's appropriate.
So is there anything else I should do? And what about the financing? I've got a mortgage broker who I've used several times.
Okay, the mortgage broker isn't really an issue. The, you know, in terms of using the, you know, the agent, I think since you're really in two different neighborhoods, you're perfectly justified. I would go to the agent if the sellers are actually have listed the house already, or they've signed a listing agreement. You should just get in there and make an offer now. You know, if you know what it's going to be and you know what's going on the market for, make the offer. Try to get the deal done before it even goes on the market. It's really going to be the best thing for you since you know you want this house and it's for your mom. We're going through this right now with some family friends of ours who are also getting ready to move their mom and mother-in-law close by. And Sam, my husband Sam, who's a real estate attorney, is helping them, you know, do this. And it's the same sort of thing. It's selling the other house. It's buying the new one. It's getting them moved in, getting the repairs made that you need to get. So use the agent who's going to help you buy the house you want. Now then, once they're ensconced in the new place, turn your attention to clearing out everything that's in the old place. And use the agent who's really best suited for that marketplace. And in terms of the mortgage, use the mortgage guy that you have, or mortgage person, who you're comfortable with and familiar with, because that person already knows you and knows everything about it, and it doesn't really matter. They're not neighborhood-specific. Mortgages aren't neighborhood-specific. They're, you know, metro area-specific sometimes, but most companies are even bigger than that. But agents are very neighborhood-specific. So use the agent who's best suited for each of the different neighborhoods. And that, I think, is going to be your best course of action. Thanks so much for your call. 404-872-0750. Margaret joins me on the line from Duluth. Hi, Margaret.
Hello, I'm here.
Good, I'm here too. How can I help you today?
I was asking about what you spoke about previously about having a teenager that turns 18, and there is something you should do, I think, and let them know. Or is it financial, or is it...
It's all kinds of things. So let me go over the list for you and for everybody else who's listening, because
yes,
I think this is really important. 18 is a really interesting age. It's an age when kids become majority for basically everything other than drinking. You can serve your country. You can buy property in almost every state. You
yes.
can start to develop credit. There's all kinds of things that you can do. But what you can't do,
mm-hmm.
right, is you can't
yes.
drink. So what do you need to know about your teenager who's turning into an adult when they probably aren't so much of an adult? Well, one thing is that they can have control over their finances. And if you have money that's in their name, they may be able to take control of that money. And if they have control of it, they're going to be able to do something with it. So you're going to want to think about that and how you're managing that money. The more important thing for you as a grandparent, if you're a guardian for a teenager turning 18, or for parents,
yeah.
is that you no longer at this age can make health decisions. So if something bad happens to your child, and they end up in a hospital unconscious, and you do not have a power of attorney from them naming you as their power of attorney for health care or financial matters, for health care particularly, the hospital can lock you out of the room. You can't make decisions for that child after 18. So what you want to do is have a serious conversation with your child or your young adult, or your now adult, and talk to them about what you should do, and then you should have some documents executed. Now, this is a great time to do this for everybody in the family, because I know there are parents saying, oh my gosh, I don't even have that. Well, you need it, because you have your 18-year-old child. That child can hold the power of attorney. You may need to revise your will. If your child has inherited assets as a child that come into his or her possession at age 18, that child may now need a will. that says what should happen to the assets when they're done. You may want your 18-year-old to be the guardian for younger children now, or at least have a say in the finances. So if your will says that Sally and Ben will be the guardians for your young children, or your young grandchildren if you're the guardians for them, and now you have your eldest one is now 18, you may want that child to be the guardian, or you may want that child to not have that responsibility but still want them to direct the money or be involved in the financial decisions because they're old enough. So these are the kinds of things I want everybody to think about, Margaret, and I want you to think about it for your grandchild.
Yes. I got you, Ms. Elise, and I think that's very important because I think parents are not thinking that way today.
Of course not. They're still your babies. I hugged my baby goodbye, and I said, go back to school, and I'm going to miss you. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking with my friend whose daughter turned 18 in January, and she's off on her gap year to China, and Wednesday night, she was busy getting all of those documents executed.
Oh.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got the finance part covered, right? But I hadn't really thought about all this other stuff. And she said, oh no, now you have to really think about this too. Because Alex wasn't 18, and now he is 18, and it's just so momentous.
That's right.
It really changes everything, doesn't it?
It certainly does, but you see, it's very important for us to know. I know the parents do not listen to these shows because they're always busy going somewhere doing something. So actually, I didn't go into church today. I sat here on my computer, and I had the radio on, and I heard you. And I said, wow, grab a pen for me, please. Let me get this to them this afternoon, because I know they're not thinking that way. Especially he's 18, and he will soon begin driving.
That's even
and
more
that
important.
That kind of scares me.
Right. It's terrifying.
It really does?
It's terrifying. It reminds me, I got to take my 15-and-a-half-year-old, Michael, out for a driving lesson this afternoon. Well, Margaret, you've done a great service to your children and to your grandchildren today, and I know one day they're going to thank you for it. I won't tell your minister if you don't.
Thank you so much. Which is the best lawyer thing I can go to? Myself, I haven't done my power of attorney to them yet. I have most of my documents with their name included, but I haven't done the power of attorney.
Well, you've got it. You've got to do that as well. See, this is the point. This is a great opportunity for everybody to get their financial and estate house in order. So you want an estate attorney. I don't do individual recommendations because people change left and right, but you can call the Atlanta Bar Association, ask for the head of the estate committee, and then that person will be able to refer you to people who are very much at the top of their game and who have all the latest training. And that's really what you want, an attorney who really knows what's going on. Because this year, everything has changed because of the tax laws and what's going on with the estate tax. And so I should probably take a show in the next couple of weeks and just talk about what changes have come down the pipe. Maybe we'll do that end of September, beginning of October. Margaret, thank you so much for your call. 404-872-0750. Tony joins me on the line from Noonan. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We have about 2 years left on our mortgage.
Nice.
The loan is in my wife's name. She bought the home before we got married.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to get my name put on the deed. And the mortgage company is telling us that the only way we can do that is to refi. And we only have 2 years left.
That's ridiculous. It's not true. You can do this is a great example of how a quit claim deed would be helpful. But the real question is, why do you feel like you need your name on the mortgage?
Well, just God forbid, in case something ever happened, to avoid probate, because probate in Georgia is not pleasant.
Right. So your wife can execute a quit claim deed. And this will probably be the easiest and fastest way to do it. And you can work with a real estate attorney just to make sure you get it right. But the quit claim deed will put it into joint tenancy with rights of survivorship. And she effectively is giving you half of the property. She can also execute a trust and name both of you as beneficiaries of the trust. And that would do effectively the same thing. So you probably, since there's probably a few other documents you want to think about, you want to talk to an attorney, an estate attorney as well, who can probably help you make the most of it. But the quit claim deed will probably be the fastest way, but you may, for other estate tax reasons, want to consider a trust. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours, here on News Talk WSB. 55 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time, starting with yours. So next week, I will be back. In the meantime, you can find me online at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. On Twitter, at Glink, we push out all of our content all over the place, think at glink. We also have a store. I've got a store with all kinds of things on it, ebooks and the Intentional Investor webinar and ebook series, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate. So if you are thinking about investing in real estate, and this, the last push, I think, for the for what's going on, unless something goes wildly wrong this next 6 months, maybe to 9 months, maybe a year on the outside, is going to be this last gasp opportunity to really get it down. In fact, Sam has been very busy working with some of his commercial clients who seem to be buying building after building after building. There are some great deals out there. Interest rates are still low. And something else happened that was really amazing this week. Jumbo interest rates for properties priced over $417,000, or mortgage amounts over $417,000, fell to a lower cost than conventional loans, under $417,000. That is, nobody can think that that has ever happened before. Truly a unique opportunity to go out and buy real estate. So go forth, conquer the real estate world. If I can help, let me know. And in the meantime, tune in again next week for another episode of the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time. You can find out great information online at thinklink.com. I hope you have a great week. Talk to you again next week on News Talk WSB.